Today's audio cast for Monday, June 12th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is petitioning the FAA to allow pilots less stringent methods to satisfy medical requirements while seeking the much-forgotten recreational certificate. AOPA's proposed health statement would be offered on behalf of the prospective pilot by a family doctor. The idea here is that current medical standards, a third-class medical, are acting as a barrier along the path of recruitment and retention of active pilots and are a primary reason the recreational certificate has suffered its lack of popularity. But a larger motivation behind the move is AOPA's recognition that the current number of pilots and new pilot starts are both on the decline. Meanwhile, Sport Pilot, the new contender fighting to counter a decline in the population, is presenting some unlucky pilots with odd challenges. Under the classification, new pilots can offer proof of medical fitness by simply showing a driver's license. Now here's where it gets interesting. Under the current rules, pilots who previously held a medical certificate but lost it for medical reasons must first get their medical back before applying for a sport pilot certificate that doesn't require one. If that makes sense to you, it doesn't to AOPA, which is asking the FAA to eliminate the Catch-22. AOPA insists that relaxed medical standards for recreational and sport pilot certificates will not have a significant impact on safety. After combing through a decade of accident data, it says there's no evidence that having a medical certificate reduces the 2% of accidents attributed to medical factors. Furthermore, it says most accidents that result from medical incapacitation are caused by conditions that can't be detected with, let alone predicted by, the airman's medical. For those of us already flying in American airspace, the battle between the FAA and the National Air Traffic Controllers Association over work rules and pay is over, but the fight may be just beginning. John Carr, the president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, told AvWeb podcast listeners that the fight will continue indefinitely as far as he's concerned. Carr says his union will fight the rules every day, every week, and every month until they are overturned. What does it all mean to you? Carr claims that 25% of the workforce, or 4,000 controllers, virtually all of them the most experienced and knowledgeable members, will opt for retirement rather than stay on and suffer negative effects on their pensions. The result, says Carr, will be traffic delays and inevitably safety concerns. Listen to last Thursday's podcast available at avweb.com to hear John Carr in his own words. Two Australians are relaxing in Hawaii after they were rescued uninjured from a Piper Seminole they ditched in the Pacific last Thursday, 535 miles northeast of Hilo, Hawaii. Pilot Lynn Gray told the Honolulu Star Bulletin that they were about 1,000 miles from Santa Barbara, California, when she encountered a fuel problem. Gray told the newspaper she and co-pilot Christian Cowder shut off one engine, but there wasn't enough fuel remaining to get to Hilo, their first fuel stop on the ferry flight to Sydney. With some help from her boss, who was flying another Seminole, Gray's aircraft was met by a Coast Guard C-130, which guided her toward the Virginius, a Maltese container ship on its way to China. Gray and Cowder surrounded themselves with pillows and luggage to cushion the impact before setting the twin on the ocean. Within 15 minutes, the freighter crew had plucked the pilots from the sea. They stayed on the ship for almost 2 days before the captain obligingly agreed to rendezvous with a Coast Guard helicopter in international waters 12 miles off Honolulu so the pilots could decide for themselves if they wanted to go to China some other time or at all. The FAA has committed to installing automatic dependent surveillance broadcast equipment to cover the Gulf of Mexico, thanks in part, no doubt, to a $100 million carrot dangled by the Gulf oil-fed helicopter industry. According to a news release issued by the Helicopter Association International, chopper operators will supply manpower, facilities, and free flights totaling a value of $100 million to get the system up and running. HAI President Rick Zaccaro hailed the cooperative arrangement, saying the need for accurate weather, direct communications, and surveillance capabilities has never been greater to support the 650-plus helicopters flying offshore. The Gulf project will be the first widespread implementation of the technology in the lower 48 states after successful testing in Alaska in the Capstone project. Healthy airline and cargo pilots who hit the magic age of 60 can potentially add 5 years to their flying lives as of November 23rd. That's when the International Civil Aviation Organization will formally adopt 65 as the mandatory retirement age for professional big iron pilots. The FAA isn't going along with the new standard and is maintaining its age 60 retirement rule. But that doesn't mean there won't be American pilots in their 60s flying airliners and cargo planes over the U.S. All they have to do is get a job with any of a myriad of carriers from dozens of countries that will follow ICAO standard. A news release from Airline Pilots Against Age Discrimination noted the seeming irony that otherwise forcibly retired American pilots may continue working, but only if they do so for a foreign company. In that case, they may remain citizens of the U.S. and frequently continue to reside here and fly the same types of airplanes loaded with passengers and freight over the same exact routes for another 5 years. In other news, Chris Pogliese said his training kicked in when he quickly put out a fire in the engine compartment of the tanker truck he had just parked under the fuel-laden wing of a Boeing 767. Now officials are saying he may have also saved hundreds of lives. Diane Cruz, Vice President of Airport Operations at Orlando Sanford International Airport, told the Orlando Sentinel, "Christopher is absolutely a hero to the airport and to all those passengers adjacent to the area." Pugliese, 26, who's only worked as a fuel truck driver for 4 months, said it didn't occur to him to run when he saw flames coming out of the truck, which held 10,000 gallons of Jet A. "They train us how to put out fires," he said. "If I started running, it would have been a mess." Two charter aircraft already loaded with a combined total of 600 passengers sat nearby as Pugliese grabbed a fire extinguisher and put out the fire. Perhaps less heroic, a student at Pinkerton Academy in Derry, New Hampshire, is alleged to have buzzed the school in a Piper Cherokee, flying at about 250 to 300 feet several times over a 30 to 45 minute period last Tuesday, wagging his wings as he did so. "It was waving to the kids, as planes do," Mary Anderson, headmaster of the school, told the Union Leader. Anderson says she considers the incident a senior prank and her punishment will fit the crime. Because the plane was flying so low, school officials were easily able to copy the registration and FAA investigators were waiting for the student when he returned the rented plane to the municipal airport in Lawrence, Massachusetts. It's not clear whether the pilot has a student or private certificate, but it seems likely he'll be without it for a while. Someone shot video of the airplane, and the FAA is now determining if the pilot's actions warrant an emergency revocation, suspension, or fine. The son of a pilot killed when his 1957 Bonanza crashed into a house in Reno last week says his father died doing something he loved. John Mundy's son, Ryan Mundy of Corinth, Texas, said in an email to the Reno Gazette-Journal, "I am blessed to be given the time I had with him, so someday I can show the same drive for perfection." John Mundy, 49, and a passenger who may have been his flight instructor, took off from Reno Tahoe International Airport about 3 p.m. last Wednesday and almost immediately reported engine trouble. Mundy apparently tried to turn back to the airport, but the plane impacted a house in South Reno. A dog that was inside the house was killed in the ensuing fire. Finally today, BAE Systems is testing a new type of synthetic vision that integrates real-time video, infrared, and radar images with pictures from a database to give pilots a clear view of the airport in zero-zero conditions. The system is being tested by NASA. Find all these stories and more details online today at avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. Just email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report was made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, June 9th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading AvWeb's audio news service.